Right. Well, good morning again. So glad to see you here. You made it. Hopefully, a lot of you did not stay up late last night. Real late last night. So the topic of the teaching this morning is devoted and brotherly love. In Paul's letter that he wrote to the church in Rome, in chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So before we get into some specifics of what that may mean, let's go ahead and pray for the teaching this morning. Father, just thank you so much for this morning, and thanks for the time of worship. Thanks, Lord, that you want to be Lord in our life. You want to be preeminent in our life. And, Lord, there's instruction that you've given to us that you want us to obey. Help us to do that. Help us to learn what you want us to know this morning and what do you want us to live by. Let's pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Romans 12:10. Well, I think it's pretty simple. This instruction has a lot to do with how we interact with one another in our church meetings, in our ministries, our small groups, in our household families, and as well as in our one-on-one relationships. So outwardly, this instruction here would affect how we speak with one another as well as how we act with one another. More specifically, in our speech, we would share words of recognition, words of kindness, praise, gratitude, comfort, and even exhortation. In our conduct, we would be gracious, charitable, courteous, friendly, welcoming, humble, and approachable. If we, as the body of Christ, obey this verse, those outside the church would look into the church and would see a close-knit family of believers and people that are that have brotherly love between them. Those outside the church would see those in the church going out of their way for each other, spending time with each other on a regular basis, in prayer, in worship, in being taught from the scriptures, in serving each other, and in fellowship with each other. If we are going to give preference to one another, as this verse tells us to, that would likely mean us giving up some of our own preferences, such as preferences on how we enjoy spending our time, preferences on how we think things should be done in the church. So some examples maybe of giving preference to one another would be, say that the church leaders have some activity or event that they want to see happen, and they assist the members for assistance in doing that. Let's say it's an outreach event, maybe church in the park or a church play, helping out with a conference or putting up Christmas decorations, whatever it might be. But so there's that invitation from the church leaders or maybe even some members to help out and assist. Well, how should I respond to that? Well, on the one hand, I could respond by saying to myself, I have better things to do at my time. Or I could say, I don't see the value in our church doing that particular activity. On the other hand, I could respond by saying to myself, the church leader sees this as an event that's important. I will jump in and contribute whatever I can to make this event happen and be a blessing to others. and I will encourage others in the church to assist as well. I think it's clear from Romans 12:10 that the more appropriate response is the latter response, to jump in and contribute and to encourage others in the church to do likewise. Some other examples might be some smaller events, such as being invited to hang out at a coffee shop, or maybe being invited to go out and have a meal together. How will I respond to those invitations? So at times, giving preference to one another may mean giving up my own preferences. One context, I think, where obeying Romans 12:10 could be found to be difficult is amongst our own peers, such as in a household of brothers or a household of sisters or in your small group. Romans 14:19 says, to pursue peace and the building up of one another. Peace between church members and the building up of one another will not come naturally. The scripture tells us that this will be something that we will have to pursue. We will have to work at it and strive for it. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, we have a situation here where Jesus is at a synagogue and he's at a meeting with other Jews. And in verse 22, this is what it says. All were speaking well of Jesus. And to me, I could interpret that, I think, to be that those Jews who were there at that meeting were speaking words of praise and honor of Jesus, just as this verse tells us. The verse goes on and it says, and they, the Jews, were wondering at the gracious words which were falling from the lips of Jesus. And I could just imagine, as these Jews were giving praise and honor to our Lord, I think our Lord in return was probably also speaking words of praise and honor towards these Jews, maybe about the devotion of their faith and their commitment to one another. Well, an example of the opposite of speaking gracious words to one another is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 15, where Paul writes, if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by each other. Obviously, this type of speech would not be a building up of one another, but a tearing down. Another example of the opposite of speaking gracious words towards one another would be to not speak any words at all when words of gratitude, praise, and honor are appropriate towards a church member or members. You know, the real issue is our heart and our thoughts about one another. How do we think of each other? What is our desire for each other? Do we think the best about other church members? Do we desire to see God glorified in every church member? Well, what does Romans 12:10 say about the type of interaction that we should have with one another? I listed a few things here. First is to have a spirit of praise and honor when we are around one another, by working hard at finding things to praise one another about. This would not be done by asking ourselves, what is wrong with this brother? Or how can I fix this brother? But instead asking, what do I appreciate and admire about this brother or this sister? Another thing would be to have a spirit of praise and honor for church members that are not in our presence. You know, it's easy to be critical of a brother or sister who's not around us at the time. Brotherly love means seeking to maintain a spirit of closeness and acceptance for someone that you would consider as a dear brother. A dear brother says, "I will be there for you no matter what." Another type of interaction would be to have a spirit of transparency, to share your fears, your concerns, and even your sins with one another, as it says in the book of James. And I just want to caution you on your transparency. Please use discretion. Another type of interaction to have with one another is a spirit of needing each other. Hebrews 10 tells us to not forsake our own assembling together. We really do need each other. The whole body of Christ working together can be greater than the sum of its individual members. I want to say that again. The whole body of Christ working together can be greater than the sum of its individual members. Banding together, we can accomplish more for the Lord than one of us doing an event or an outreach by ourselves. Well, within our members, what type of interaction should we not have with one another? And I'm going to list a number of things, and as you hear these things, it may sound to you, "Boy, I would never do any of that." But I want us to be cautious here. We can easily fall into these types of interactions, which can cripple or even destroy the fellowship or the relationships in a church. So here are some things to avoid. And maybe some of this has just been my own personal experience, things that I've done. The first is a spirit of competition or rivalry amongst each other. And what I mean by this is I compete and I strive with another member to do more or to look better. Another thing to avoid would be a spirit of "I'm better than" or "more important than you are in terms of my time and my contribution." Another thing to avoid would be a spirit of superiority. This would be the type of person who may say to themselves, "There is nothing you can do better or as good as I can." Another thing to avoid would be an unwillingness to often share weaknesses or struggles or shortcomings or wrongs that I've committed. This person might say to themselves, "I need to look good, like I have it together, since I'm going to be the more mature person." And I would think that this type of person really is presenting an unreal or false front to other church members. Another thing to avoid is an unwillingness to express a need that I have so that others can help me or pray for me. And I realize sometimes we have needs that go on for a long time, and that can be even more difficult to share those needs. But we really need to be sharing those needs with one another, even if they've gone on for a long time in our lives. Another thing to avoid would be an unwillingness to believe that others can help me. This person might say to themselves, "I'm more advanced in spiritual maturity. What could you do for me?" Don't think that you're too spiritually mature to ever be counseled or helped by a younger believer. Another thing to avoid would be an unwillingness to give others an opportunity to lead in some activity or event or meeting. I believe we're all here to learn to be leaders in our Lord's kingdom. The book of James says to us here, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. And as I think about that verse, to me that sounds like if we do that, we've hit the bottom of the barrel. There's every evil thing if there's jealousy and selfish ambition amongst us. Christian living is in large measure learning to govern what I allow myself to think about myself and about others. And I'm going to say that again. Christian living is in large measure learning to govern what I allow my mind to think about myself and about others. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if there is anything excellent or worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I think those are the types of things that we could try to look for in each other and then share our praise with that person. So back to Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. I think this verse very clearly tells us to be focused on others, to seek out ways to love, serve, and give honor to others. You know, I think our Christian faith really comes down to this. How we speak and how we act is a reflection of how we see God and how we think God acts towards us. Do you see our Lord as being devoted to you in brotherly love? Do you see our Lord as desiring to honor you and others in our church membership? Have the same brotherly love and desire to honor other members as our Lord does. Whenever we are with our members, whether it's in our meetings or our one-on-one encounters, let's practice Romans 12:10. And I think we can do this in at least two ways. The first is by reminding ourselves that we are truly family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We truly are and will be family forever. The second way would be to ask ourselves, what things do I appreciate or admire about this brother or this sister? And then to go ahead and share those things with one another. So that's a teaching. Let's go ahead and pray. And then after we pray, we're going to open it up to people that may have some things that they care to share. So, Father, just thank you again. Thanks that you are truly devoted to us in brotherly love. And thank you, Lord, that you truly do want to honor us and you want us to honor one another. Father, just help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that in very practical ways. Help us to have that as our heart's desire, Father, to love each other dearly and to give honor to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.